simply reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back after this long Labor Day weekend. Back in the studio with a gangbuster show today. A person that I like to call a friend. I've actually sat down and broke bread with him in the past. One of the really unique individuals within the world of physical culture is on the show today to talk about his new book, Living Life Aggressively. Mike Mahler. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great, Carl. Great to be back. Thank you.
Yeah. You know, I want to talk about something that we were talking about off the air, first of all. And we're going to get into this interview, and we're going to get into it deep, because I think that this book that you've written really steps out from the norm. And I said this to you off the air. I kind of feel like this book gives license to a lot of us who make our living and love what we do within the world of physical culture. More of a multifaceted human being, licensed to allow people to see that we are more multifaceted than just the dialogue that we have. And we're going to talk about that when we talk about the book. But before I get into that, you shared something with me that I never knew off the air a little while ago. How long have you been following Brooks Cubic?
I've been following Brooks for a long time. I mean, a good friend of mine got me into his work back in, I want to say 1998, it might be a little bit earlier than that, but it was soon after I got out of college. I graduated from college in 1996, and I'd always leaned towards that style of training, but I never read a book that just got me so fired up to work out and just look at training in a different way. So Brooks is an incredible writer, and he had a column in Iron Man magazine at the time as well that I was checking out, which was excellent. So he's actually been around for a while. A lot of people hear him now, and they think he's someone who just got on the scene maybe a couple of years ago, but he's been doing this for a long time.
And you pointed out to me that there are a lot of people out there, and some that you've actually come across their writings, who will make mention of dinosaur training,
yeah,
but never give Brooks Cubic any credit for being the guy who really instituted the whole concept of dinosaur training.
Yeah, it really cracks me up because I don't see it so much now. At least I haven't come across it recently, but back in the late 1990s, early 21st century, you would see a lot of writers to allude to dinosaur training. They would even use the phrase dinosaur training. Another style of weightlifting is dinosaur training, where you pick up barrels and kegs and sandbags. They would put all of that stuff into dinosaur training under the umbrella of dinosaur training. And I always found that amusing because they would never give Brooks credit at all.
They would never say Brooks Cubic's dinosaur training.
Ever. They would never plug his book. Or you know, for more information on this style of training, go check out Brooks's book. And that's a book I recommend to everyone. I mean, I still have my copy, which has been read probably like 100 times.
Right.
It's kind of like the Think and Grow Rich of the serious weightlifting world.
Yeah.
Because that's one of my favorite books on motivation. I read
right.
that all the time.
Right.
And Brooks's book is that every once in a while you get into a phase where you're not into working out with the same fire that you normally are. We all go through that.
You right.
go through these phases where you're going, all right, I'm going to keep it going because I want to be consistent. And I don't want to let myself go, but I'm just not fired up to work out right now. You read his book, you're going to be fired up to work out. You just can't help but be fired up to work out because that's how well it's written and that's just the style of it. And one thing we also talked about is it's a very masculine driven book in the sense that, I mean, it's women like the book too, but he's definitely targeting a male audience because he just gets you to basically, he has a lot of chapters where it's suck it up, man up and do this. And get going, get your workout in today, where you just feel like a total wuss now if you don't get your workout in.
Right.
So it's another one of those kind of books that just goes beyond just physical training information. It's actually highly motivating as well.
You know, and the truth of the matter is that on this show, we pay tribute to so many different contributors. I mean, I really am just an interviewing point, and quite often, a lot of the things that I parrot, I've learned from somebody else that's appeared on this show.
Yeah, we all have, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, when none of us are, well, we do have some original thoughts. You have some, I have some. But overall, those original thoughts are the process of being able to look forward using the information and knowledge that you have. And most of that information and knowledge is gathered from other people. And the idea of not paying tribute to those people by giving them the credit that they deserve is really, in my opinion, one of the most cowardly forms of theft that you can perpetrate.
And I agree. I mean, sometimes it's just by accident. Someone will mention something, and then they'll go, "Oh man, I forgot to mention that's where I got that information from." I mean, that happens sometimes. So I don't think it's always so premeditated, but most of the time I would say it is, where someone literally is stealing the information and they know very well what they're doing. I think one of the most common cases is my friend John Brookfield with his battling rope system, which he's been doing it for a while, but I introduced it to my audience on one of my videos called Collision Course, which is a big workshop I put together a couple of years ago with Mark Felipe, and people loved his system. And a few years later, I started seeing his system pop up everywhere. It's on these UFC videos all the time. It's on fitness magazines all the time. It was on 24/7 with Mayweather the other day. They showed different people using it. And I never, ever, not one time have I seen someone say, "Oh, I learned this from John Brookfield," or, "Oh, this is John Brookfield's system." And this is definitely something that John came up with. It's not something that he read about in like an old-time strongman book somewhere and go, "Oh, cool, I'm going to bring that back into popularity," like the way kettlebells were brought back in. It was something that he definitely conceived with his friend John Bruni, and I've never seen really anyone really credit him the way he deserves to be credited.
Well, here you go. We're crediting him right now.
Yeah.
which now let's move forward. You wrote this book. I've got it in my hand here. Live Life Aggressively: What Self-Help Gurus Should Be Telling You. First of all, when you started thinking about writing this book, and you and I have very, very strong opinions about some of the same things, about the feminization, and I'll tell you who else is another great guy that if I had him, you and me on the show, I think we could have our own man show, and that's Sean Phillips.
Right. Sean's a great guy.
Yeah, and he's like with us on this same thing. I know with the demasculinization of America. When you decided to write this book, did you question yourself? Like, look, you know, I know about hormone optimization. I know about, you know, kettlebell training. I know about strength and conditioning. Now I'm going to go into the realm of, you know, almost like something that you would see on a Fox News or a CNN panel show discussion.
Right.
My opinions about life. Did you question yourself about this? Like, should I do this?
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, but you know, it's funny. I've questioned myself about everything I've done. When I got into fitness, I was like, "Oh, you know, who's going to listen to me?" And then when I started learning about hormone optimization, and I was so excited about what I was learning, and I wanted to start talking about it as a researcher, I was like, "Great! Now I'm this kettlebell guy trying to talk about hormone optimization." And then people really liked what I had to say about hormones, and then now all of a sudden I'm some philosophical guy or some motivational guy, whatever you want to call it, coming out with this book. So yeah, I'm sure there's plenty of people out there who think I just must have some ADD.
But I'm probably
going to be a pilot next. but at the same time, I feel like this. When I started my business, Aggressive Strength, which has always been the name of my company, it was always more than just physical training. Like even in my bio, I say I want to show people how to take the lessons they learn from intense workouts and apply it to other areas of their life, because I see such a disconnect there, where I see guys that are really tough in their workouts, and I see women too that just kill it in their workouts, but they're just total chumps in their life, meaning they do jobs they hate without even thinking of what do I want to do and how do I develop the courage to pursue it, and why am I in a relationship that's self-destructive? So to me, it's a big... You're not really getting the full harness of the strength you're developing physically if you can't even apply it in ways that's meaningful to improving the quality of your life. So that was kind of the impetus of what got me talking about these kind of topics in the first place, is I want to start getting people to think mentally and develop mental strength and do the self-analysis they need to move on. And that's really what's happened. So what happened is I started writing a column in my online magazine, which started discussing these topics, and it started off with... sometimes it would be a quote where I would discuss that for a paragraph or two, and then that started developing into articles. And then a lot of people said, "I really like what you have to say. Have you ever thought about writing a book?" And I was kind of like, "Nah, I'm not going to do that." And then then my family said, "Hey, I love your stuff. You should definitely write a book." My wife said the same thing. So I'm like, "All right, I'll start thinking about that." And it was one of those things where I just started writing chapters, and when I wrote a chapter, I would release it to my audience to see what they thought of it.
Right.
And the chapters that really resonated with the audience are the ones that actually made it to the book. So there were a lot of chapters I wrote where people just didn't really respond to it, or it didn't really have the effect that I wanted to, and I just clipped those out. So it was actually a cool way for me to develop the book, because pretty much every chapter was greenlit by the audience. And I don't mean greenlit as in everyone said, oh, what a great article. I mean greenlit as in it provoked a lot of thought. Like a lot of people would get offended by some of it, but it got people talking, and it was controversial. And that's what I wanted here. I was like, I'm not trying to write a book where everyone thinks I'm such a great guy. I'm putting out some strong opinions.
I was just going to say, you ran the risk of a lot of people thinking, wow, Mike has got some edgy opinions here, you know?
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And let's face it. Some of these opinions, I would venture to say many of these opinions, are counterintuitive and contrary to the common dogma today. Otherwise, why would the country be where it is today?
It is, exactly. And also with self-help books, a lot of people are disgusted with them, as I am. So it made me think about a documentary I saw about that old sitcom, Married with Children,
right,
that was popular many years ago.
Right.
And the writers for the show were going, we were inspired to write this show because we knew that there were a lot of people out there, probably like us, that were fed up of shows like The Cosby Show and all these really campy family shows where the biggest problem is someone got a D on their report card, you know,
right,
or something like that.
Right.
It was like this Reagan era of these campy shows, these feel-good shows. And these guys are like, we're fed up of that. It's nauseating, so we're going to come out with the opposite. And that's kind of how I feel about this book is most self-help books are so focused on just trying to make you feel good that they don't really get you to be honest with yourself.
And that's an important point, because we've just come from a generation where we baby boomers have raised children where everyone on the team gets a medal, and
yeah,
every kid has to be fed his daily aliquot of self-esteem. And guess what? Life isn't like that. And I have to tell you, I'm sorry to say this, but this generation of kids may have been done a great disservice by we well-meaning parents who have tried to fabricate this ideal world where everybody's a winner and everybody is equal and everybody gets the prize at the end of the day, and it doesn't work out. And these kids are being very disillusioned now. And that's exactly what most self-help books do. Most self-help books tell you what you want to hear.
Exactly.
And you know what? Because let's face it, nobody wants to pay $19.95 for a book to be told, suck it up, work harder, you may not get what you want, so have a plan B.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of self-help philosophies are basically about, it's basically emotional manipulation, where they're trying to get you to feel a certain way, so now you're addicted to their message. And for example, like a Tony Robbins seminar, you'll go there and you're jumping up and down and cheering all day for 3 days, and then you're hugging strangers and massaging people. It's a very weird environment.
I know.
Really think about it.
Right.
You know? And you're like, walk up to three strangers and tell them something great about them. It's like, well, what am I supposed to tell them? I don't know anything about them, right?
Yeah.
So it's like all these forced emotional manipulations, and then you leave a place like that with nothing. So everyone's on this high because you've been jumping up and down and hugging strangers all weekend. And then you go home, and you're right back to where you were before you went to the event. And then you're like, oh, I need to go back to that course for more motivation, or I need to buy his next book, or I need to buy the next cassette tape, so now I need to listen to his stuff in the car. And it's like, look, these are all forms of just delaying tactics, which I talk about in the book. You're
right,
just finding clever ways to delay doing the action, which is where you may fail. And people are so afraid of failing that they'll do anything to avoid the action phase, because the longer they can delay it, the less they have to worry about actually firing a gun and committing and putting it out there to see whether they're going to succeed or fail. So my attitude is like, look, figure out exactly what you want to do. Do the necessary research to get going, but then you actually have to get going. And you're going to be motivated from your actions. You don't have to motivate yourself to act. You have to get going, and that's going to be motivating. When you're out there in the field hustling, you're not going to be thinking about, oh, I need more energy to get this going. I mean, you're doing it.
Right. Let's do this. Let's take a commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about the yin and yang of negative thoughts and whether or not, you know, being positive all the time is really all it's cracked up to be. We're talking today
Definitely.
With Mike Mahler. His new book is Live Life Aggressively, What Self-Help Gurus Should Be Telling You. Mike, where can people get the book?
people can get the book at Amazon.com, or they can get it at my website, MikeMahler.com. And it should be in Barnes & Noble as well in about a month or so. It's a little bit long application, but the book is out there on my site or Amazon right now.
Very cool, very cool. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and TestCharge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only TestCharge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in TestCharge. TestCharge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in TestCharge. TestCharge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long, because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. 6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to, is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to IronMagLabs.com today. Age Force introduces the first ever nitric oxide booster plus advanced post-workout recovery formula in a two-stage transdermal pack. Stage 1 releases its nitric oxide boosting formula directly into the bloodstream the minute you apply it, and continues to deliver a powerful nitric oxide boost during your workout. Stage 2 is delayed time release, so the post-recovery formula starts after your workout. Go to ageforce.com and check out the new pre- and post-workout patch and get 50% off any order with the promo code SHROX. Save 50% when you use coupon code SHROX.
The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels, but most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MAHLER.com.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest today is Mike Mahler. His new book, Live Life Aggressively. And I want to talk about the title of this book, too.
Sure.
But before I get into that, I want to talk about, you hit people right in the face with two chapters. And actually, when I cracked the book open, Elisa was looking over my shoulder. And she said, the necessity of negative thinking? And, you know, and it's like... Yeah. You know, and really, let's be honest. I mean, just the way the misinformation about diet and exercise have been propagandized for, you know, decades by the media, so is this notion that if you are not excited about your life every day, you're doing something wrong. It's like, no, you know what? There is an effect of negative thinking. You know what? When you worry about stuff, sometimes you get your ass in gear.
Exactly.
You know? So let's talk about these first two chapters, first of all. Is having a positive attitude overrated? What's your opinion of that?
I think it is. I think it is overrated, and I think it's overused, and I also think that it's often faked, and that's not going to get you anywhere useful. And so, I mean, here's my take on positive thinking, negative thinking. You need both, no question, but I've always found this. I've always found people that are positive all the time are really annoying, and I've found that people that are negative all the time are equally annoying. So you want to be, you don't want to be one or the other, but here's the problem with just people that are positive all the time. There's a lot of terrible things that happen in the world, and not even just outside of America, like in third world countries, Kenya, Bosnia. I mean, we can go through Rwanda. I mean, I give a lot of examples of just terrible things that have happened in the world, and also a lot of things that happen in the U.S. So just to have this campy positive attitude all the time, you're basically just lying to yourself when you do it. 100% of the time. That's the first thing, because your subconscious is going to be smarter and realize that there's a lot of crappy things happening out there. Okay, so that's the first thing. But the second thing is this. Just being positive all the time can cause you to be stuck in a rut. It can be the biggest impediment to not making any positive changes, ironically. And here's what I mean. Let's say you have a job you hate, but you're going, oh, the economy's terrible right now, so I better just stay put, even though I can't stand this job. The idea of going in there makes me sick. Then the economy gets better. Oh, I better just stay put because the economy could get bad again. So you can always use positive thinking to justify not taking any action. Things could be a lot worse, so I better just stay put. Oh, I should be more grateful for what I have instead of asking for more. These are all the negatives of positive thinking. Now, I've always found that when I've made dramatic changes in my life for the better, like getting out of a really bad marriage and quitting a really crappy job, those are the two big defining points. It came from a lot of negativity. It came from, I can't stand the idea of this job anymore. I can't stand the idea of doing this meaningless work where I'm just going to be miserable for the rest of my life, or I can't stand being in this relationship one more minute. And then you've had enough, and you burn those bridges, and you push forward, and you're never going to turn back. So rather than trying to go, well, let me just think about the positives and the negatives here and this and that, sometimes you have to get to that rock bottom state. I would say, not even sometimes, I would say it's a necessity. You have to be in that rock bottom state to make really meaningful changes. The idea of staying the same has to be so nauseating to you that there's no way that you're going to be in that comfort zone.
One of the most brilliant men I've ever met was a therapist I encountered when I lived in Las Vegas. He was on Rancho. This was my first attempt at talk therapy, and I got lucky. I got a guy who knew what he was doing, and he knew that he didn't want to turn me into a regular client. And he gave me some very profound things to think about. And his name was Jerry Katz, K-A-T-Z. I'll never forget him because I still think about things that he told me back then in 1981 and 82. And I remember Jerry saying to me, an uncomfortable chair is growth provoking. I said, really? He said, sure. He says, because if you sit in it often enough, you'll get a backache, and then eventually you'll look for a better chair.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, another thing about positive thinking is it's too much pressure. It's too much pressure to have to just try to put a positive spin on everything that ever happens in your life. Oh, I got a flat tire today. Maybe this is preventing something worse that's going to happen. Why can't we just say this sucks? I mean, we don't have to sit there and dwell on it. I'd be like, this sucks. I got a flat tire. It's inconvenient. And then you go, and then you change the tire, and then you move on with your day. But why can't, when things suck, why can't we just accept that fact
and say it sucks?
Yeah, exactly. And then when you look at stuff like what happened in Rwanda, the Holocaust back during the Clinton administration, there 800,000 people were butchered with machetes in 90 days. I mean, what's the positive spin on that? What are we going to say? Oh well, at least we learned this. It's like, come on.
Well,
ask them what was so positive about.
Now let's get into a subject that I always skirt discussing, and that is religion.
Sure. Okay?
And this is exactly where religion steps in, because it is so profound that we not think anything negative about our lives that people will look and say, well, they've gone on to a better place. You know what? I don't know. I'm not going to discuss my religious beliefs on the air because I'll probably alienate some people or upset
people.
But the reality is, no. If there really is a God, he's not thinking that way. He's not going, yeah, slaughter those people, send them up here, they'll have a lot of fun. No, that's not the way it works. And you know,
and even if that's true, is that enough? I mean, let's say you went through this miserable life and then you had this horrible ending, and then you go on to a better place. Is that still enough to justify all that suffering you went through?
In fact, I will submit to you the notion of a hereafter causes more death and war than anything else, because people are so miserable with their lives that they're willing to sacrifice themselves and take hundreds of people with them to go on to a better place. And you know what? And if people realize that life is not all about fun and games and being happy and sweet 16 parties, and that there is a lot of pain and difficulty in life, and that's part of the yin and yang of life. You know, here's a perfect example, Mike. The antidepressant industry. I mean, I say this all the time. I've said it on the air, and I've said it to people in private. You know, depression and sadness, when occurring during an appropriate point in your life, like the loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, a great disappointment, it's normal to be depressed. And a doctor wants to give you a pill because you're saying, oh, you're depressed, like it's a bad thing. Well, would that same doctor see me in a movie theater, belly laughing at Bill Murray and going, oh, this is so funny? And he looks at me and goes, you know, we need to give you a pill because you're really way too happy. No, he wouldn't do that. So why is happiness better than sadness? They're both appropriate emotions at different times of the life. We need to just go with it.
Yeah, I agree. And it's about embracing the full life experience as well, rather than just trying to have this sugar-coated experience or this delusional experience. And that's part of it right there. And I've seen a lot of people. I remember when someone died when I was a kid, and people just grieved, and then they went on with their lives. And then as I got older, all of a sudden, a loved one dies, and people are taking Paxil, or they're taking antidepressants, and they're numb for twice as long, and then they eventually get off, or maybe they don't get off. But I think you're giving yourself the wrong message. You're basically saying that whenever a hardship comes your way, just take a pill, basically.
Right.
Whenever suffering comes in, just take a pill. Or maybe you're not supposed to experience those things. And my attitude is you're not really going to develop as a full person if you don't experience those things. So that's kind of where I go back in the book, and where I talk about embrace the struggle, because that's what it's going to be. And that's also one thing where people also feel like, another illusion is where people feel that if you're doing what you want to do in life, that it's just fun and games every day. And no question, it's still work, but it's work you want to do, is what I always say. I mean, I don't wake up and go, oh, it's Christmas, another day at the job and all that. I love what I do, but at the same time, there's things that need to be done. So it works. It's not just all fun and games. And there's still going to be struggling, and there's still going to be hardship. So it's not like once you decide what you want to do and you reach a certain level, it's all fun and games at that point. There's always going to be something else. There's always going to be a problem you have to work on, you have to fix.
You know, I want to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about why, in my opinion, those of us who embrace physical culture are better equipped to live normal, and when I say the word normal, I should say grounded lives, okay? I have an opinion about this. And then I want to get into the battle within. This is an important chapter, okay? We're talking about Mike Mahler's new book, Live Life Aggressively. You can get it at Amazon.com or go to his website, Mike Mahler, MAHLER.com. This is really a great read. This is really a great book. It's nothing about working out, but it will affect your entire life, including your workouts. I promise you. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Just getting weaker, probably because my lies just started getting deeper. And the reason for my confession is that I learned my lesson, and I really think you ought to know the truth. Because I lied. When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at NeedToBuildMuscle.com. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram.
Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at orbitnutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit orbitnutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. orbitnutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at orbitnutrition.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Mike Mahler is one of the most sought-after teachers in the world of kettlebell training. Whether your goal is greater strength, speed, mental toughness, or fat loss, you'll come away with newfound knowledge. His seminars play to sold-out crowds. Now you can attend one of the most exciting, life-changing strength and conditioning seminars in the world. Seminars are scheduled for Denver, Tacoma, Washington, Washington, D.C., Las Vegas, Hawaii, and Miami. These will not be repeat engagements, so don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Go to MikeMahler.com today and book your seat. That's Mike, MAHLER.com. Space is very limited.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
Your shaker bottle is the most important tool in meal planning. The convenience and being able to take a ready-to-drink meal on the road is a necessity. Too often, our shaker bottle backfires on us, making what should be a convenience a disaster. Shaker Pro is the only shaker bottle in the world with a separate chamber to keep your protein powder dry until you're ready to mix it. Shaker Pro's patented design ensures that all of your powders will blend completely. Shaker Pro is BPA-free. Go to 4sportlife.com today. That's the number 4sportlife.com.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Just want to remind everybody, there was a problem with the Superhuman Radio website where people were going to sign up for the Shaker Pro giveaway. We're going to be giving away 18 Shaker Pro bottles every month for the next 6 months. We're going to be doing the August drawing sometime next week. You enter once, and you have a chance to win throughout the whole 6 months. So go back to superhumanradio.com if you attempted to enter and were stopped by a malfunctioning form, and enter to win one of 18 Shaker Pro shaker bottles given away every single month for the next 6 months. Okay. We're talking with Mike Mahler about his new book, Live Life Aggressively. It's a great book. It really, really is a good book. And it's a book, you know, there's so much more value to a book like this than one that's going to tell you about training, because this is a book that shares an individual's opinions about life. And some of them you may agree with and some of them you may not, but at least it causes you to think and assess and take inventory of your own beliefs, something that most of us don't take the time to even delineate in life, what our beliefs really are. A lot of us are just like leaves floating on the wind. We go here, we go there, and no one takes a hard stance. Tell me about the real battle. The real battle is within. This particular chapter, when you were writing this chapter, where was this coming from?
It just comes through things I've been through myself. Like, I'm biracial. I'm half Indian, half white. And I've gone through periods in my life when I was much younger where I didn't really know where I fit in. Like, I've experienced racism on both sides. So it kind of made you feel like you're out of the loop. So you start developing this kind of internal hate, anger, and you're constantly battling that all the time. And then you have to basically come to terms with, hey, forget about what other people are viewing of you or what other people think. You have to come to terms with who you are and who you want to be, and you move forward from there. But what really got me thinking about that quite a bit was the episode of a TV show called Highlander that I talk about in the book, where and briefly, Highlander is about people that are immortals, and they fight each other with swords until there's to the death until there's one left. So it's probably written by a bunch of guys who played Dungeons and Dragons as much as kids.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, it's a good show, and the first movie was a masterpiece. But anyway, in this one particular episode, the protagonist is fighting a Zoroastrian god, Ahriman. And every time he fights this Zoroastrian god with anger and hatred, he gets weaker and the god gets stronger. He just feeds off of that anger. And it's not until he realizes what's happening that he just quells that anger and stops trying to fight this god as if it's an enemy, like his previous enemies. And at that point, it loses all the power. So a lot of times we have a similar battle within where our anger is taking over us. And this is where things can become very negative. Like sometimes anger can provoke a lot of positive action, but I think if you dwell too much in anger, you start becoming addicted to that anger, which is makes it impossible to really change. And then that's the battle you're having within. That's the battle that there's no answer outside of yourself. You have to figure out where that's coming from and how to push through that.
You know, I would love to do away with the word white. And I was thinking about this when you said this. When you just said, well, I'm biracial, you said I'm half Indian, I'm half white.
Right, right.
But okay, so your dad is what?
He's from Montana, so his background is German, Irish,
Thank
Scottish,
you.
Pretty mixed
so
up.
So German, yeah. Irish, Scottish. I mean, he's not white. It's like, I hate that. It's like when I fill out a form, I have to put down that I'm white, but I'm not white. I am
right.
I'm the culmination of Italian invaded by the Moors and the Normans.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, wait a minute. I have Ethiopian blood in me. So how can I be white? I'm anything but white, but yet you have, and see, I have a feeling that this word white really creates more problems than it's really really worth in the long run. You know, I mean, it's like,
right.
I don't know, when you said that, I was thinking to myself, you're not really biracial. Your dad isn't white. He has to come from England or Scotland or Ireland or you know, someplace else, and they're not white.
Well, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, we're all really mixed up.
Yeah.
It's not like anyone is this clean slate person where they just have one particular background.
No, I mean, no one is, because of the invasionary process back in those days was when you invaded a country, you killed the men, you raped the women to spread your seed.
Well, I mean, race is another controlling mechanism, too, because once you're defined as something, now it's like you're supposed to act a certain way.
Right.
Like someone says, oh, we have a black guy at the office. It's like, oh, he must be good at basketball, so let's get him on the team. You know, you're like,
right.
All these stereotypes start coming in. Or, oh, is he a funny guy? Let's go hang out with him. Maybe he's like Eddie Murphy, you know?
Right.
And then they're like, oh, we got a white guy? Let's put him into accounting. You know, he must be smart.
Yeah,
so
right.
It's like
right.
Race is another way to control these different things. It's like, oh, we have an Asian guy in this department. He must be good at math. And it's like all these unnecessary stereotypes are put upon you when you start defining yourself by race. And I always felt, I was talking to a good friend of mine in the military. He says he doesn't like all these sub terms for like African American, Asian American. He's like, why can't we just all be Americans? Because it's like all these dividing terms. And I was like, that's a good point.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
Point.
We would embrace each other to a greater degree if there was some homogeneity. There's no doubt about it. Talk to me about why you feel that there's a high price to ownership in life when you own, and explain to the audience what you're talking about when you talk about ownership.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's basically hoarders that hoard material things, and there's a lot of popular TV shows now about that, because it's such a common problem. But there's also people that just hoard ideas or hoard beliefs. Like maybe you believed something when you were 18 and you just hang on to that no matter what, even when the opposite truth slaps you in the face. And the analogy that the first time I ever came across this concept of just being attached to ideas, beliefs, was when I was studying Buddhism in college. I studied Buddhism, Hinduism, Sufism. I studied all the Eastern religions. And there was a story about, there's a Buddhist story about a guy who hears, whose son goes off to war, and then he gets a note saying, your son died in battle. And this guy goes through a grieving process, and then he moves on. And then I think it's a couple of years later, the son, who was either a POW or he was lost somewhere, finally makes it back home, and he's knocking on his father's door saying, hey, Dad, I'm back. And his father's like, oh, this must be a cruel joke someone's playing on me. My son's dead. I already got the note from the military, so this can't possibly be my son, where he refused to even open the door. So when people hear a story like that, they're going, oh, that's so fantastical. It's like, well, you're missing the point. You're missing the point of what it's trying to teach you. And stories are the most effective ways to teach stuff. That's why every philosophy, religion uses a lot of stories.
Right.
Is that this guy was so attached to what he felt was the fact that his son was dead, that he was, there was, that even when the literal proof was right in front of him, he refused to let it in. And I think a lot of people do that, too, in their lives, because it's another way to avoid having to change. It's another way of saying, oh, great, I don't have to change now. Also, it's, a lot of people don't want to ever admit that they were wrong, and that's another impediment to change, where we all make mistakes, and a lot of times we're going to believe something where we go, huh, can't believe I ever believed that. That was moronic. So sometimes you have to move on from that and not be so attached to what you believe is the absolute truth.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, Mike, when you came up with the title for this book, Live Life Aggressively, aggressiveness is something that is frowned upon in this day and age. We've gotten to the point where just being aggressive is a negative, but it's really not, is it?
It's being aggressive is considered a negative, and also having high testosterone is considered a negative.
Right, right. Or being like being a man today is considered a negative, right?
Well, what's funny is if someone acts like a total jerk, people will say, oh, that guy's got too much testosterone.
Right.
And it's the opposite. The guy probably has too much estrogen.
Right.
Because when you have optimal testosterone to estrogen ratio, you feel good. You're not out there acting like a jerk.
Yes,
you feel
that's
good
true.
All the time.
And in fact, there's a lot of...
You're not having this hot temper. Whenever I see someone with like this hot temper where they just go off for nothing, I was like, that's not a guy with high testosterone. That's a guy who's
high estrogen.
Serious estrogen dominant.
Yes.
And that's why he's going off for nothing. He can't handle this situation. He probably has no DHEA, so he can't handle stress. So it's the exact opposite. But coming back to aggression, yeah, whenever we hear the word aggressive, we think of some bully beating up somebody or something like that. And yeah, of course, that's one form of aggressive. But another definition of aggressive is to move forward with purpose. And that's basically what the book is all about, to live in a way where you're moving forward with purpose, where you're clearly defining who you are and what you want to achieve, and then you're having the courage to go after that. And
now, the key word is move forward, aggress versus regress.
So right,
aggress
exactly.
is to move forward. But for some reason in society today, if you are aggressive, people – frown upon that. It's a negative. I want to talk about that.
Well, it's a negative of the feminist movement, unfortunately,
yes.
Where a lot, I think some really good things came out of it initially, and it was a lot of women empowered themselves and said, hey, we're not going to be defined as sexual objects anymore, and we want to have a voice and equality.
Oh, you know what? But that, there's some contradiction in that message, too. Let's do this. Let's take
sure.
a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to pick up this discussion. We're talking with Mike Mahler about his new book, Live Life Aggressively. You can get a copy of the book at Amazon.com or go to Mike Mahler, MAHLER.com. It's really a great book, great read. We'll be right back. Sorry about that. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diet have
have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains D-aspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better, bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels, but most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MAHLER.com.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking today with Mike Mahler about his new book, Live Life Aggressively. And during the last segment, we were talking about the word aggressive. It is definitely found to be a negative today. Someone will say to you, God, why are you being so aggressive? It's like, and aggressiveness is not a bad thing. It does make a lot of people feel uncomfortable. Usually the people who feel most uncomfortable about aggressive people are people who are expecting handouts in life, or live under the style of life that is being promoted by our government today, which is the entitlement lifestyle. They don't like aggressive people. They don't want people who go after what they get. You're a threat to them because you're threatening their belief system. What would you say to that statement?
Yeah, I think that's very true, and it's one thing that really irritates me actually about the recession we're in is we're always hearing about what the government should be doing, but we never hear about what individuals should be doing to get us out of this situation. And we can end this whole recession when people start spending again, and people will start spending when they actually have jobs. And if there isn't a job out there, then why don't you create one instead of just sitting around waiting for someone else to create one for you? And when people hear that, they're like, wow, that's really harsh. It's like, well, that if that's the reality of your situation – like, look, I'm not going to sit around for months on end hoping that if there aren't any jobs out there in what I want to do, I'm going to create something. We see a lot of people doing that, too, where a lot of people said they couldn't get a job, and they said, forget it. I'm going to create my own thing.
Right.
And they're developing these little successful businesses left and right. And then a lot of times, though, when you actually say what I just said, people will think you're a jerk. They're like, oh, that's not cool. You know, people out there struggling and all that. I was like, look, man, I'm not trying to win a popularity contest. I'm just giving you a dose of reality. The reality of the situation is this. You don't have a job. You're having a hard time getting one. Why don't you create one instead of sitting around complaining about it? And
you know, and you want to know something? And I, this kind of goes into the chapter, you know, I can't remember the exact wording of the chapter, but it was something about I didn't save anything for the swim back.
Right. Exactly.
You know,
that's the name. That's the chapter.
Yeah. It's the mentality is that something will come along and save me. The government will do something. Someone else will do something to save me. And if you really knew
you were in a life or death situation and you really knew that no one was coming along to save you, guess what? You'd save yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's why one of my favorite movies is The Untouchables with Sean Connery and Kevin Costner, Andrew Garcia. And I talk about that in the last chapter of the book where Sean Connery's character, Malone, has some great lines. They're in these tough situations, and he's dying in his last words to Elliot Ness, or what are you prepared to do now? And then Elliot Ness is, in the beginning of the movie, Elliot Ness is like, he's like, what are you prepared to do to get Capone? He's like, oh, I'll do everything within the law. And then Capone, and then Malone's like, well, then what are you prepared to do? Because you're going to have to, that's just the way this game works. You're going to have to push it harder.
Right.
So that's a good question for someone to ask. I'm not, and I'm not using this analogy to encourage people to go out there and rob a bank or break the law. But what I'm saying is you should ask yourself that question. What are you prepared to do? It's like, all right, you can't find work. What are you prepared to do about it? You're overweight and miserable. What are you prepared to do about
right.
it?
Right. Right.
That's a good question to ask yourself.
Well, you know what? And we are a country now. Predictably, by 2030, where 50% of the population will be obese, and everybody wants to tap dance around, and God forbid you call someone obese or fat, or tell
right.
them that they should change. It's like we're supposed to be this this group of people who we are blind to the truth. We don't say the truth. We hide ourselves, and when we're in trouble, we look for other people to save us. This is not the normal human constitution. We did not. Crawl out of the primordial ooze and get to this point in life
well,
by
being
that
way. We've become a society of people that want to be coddled, and we've become a society of where everyone's so worried about offending everyone that they're always using that before they open their mouth, like, oh, I better not offend anyone. And the worst case are the politicians. You can't answer any question directly. You'll ask them a question on anything, and they have to have this circular answer, which takes forever, and they don't even answer what the question was. So so that's what we see a lot in, and I mean these were a lot of the motivations for the book. But one thing about the book, and I'm not sure if you're aware of this, I wanted to mention is that I'm actually giving away 100% of profit to two organizations. One is called Life Quest Transitions, which helps wounded soldiers get their mental and physical health back.
Right.
And another one is called the Nevada SPCA, which helps abandoned animals here
right.
in Vegas.
Right.
A lot of foreclosures and people are losing that, and that's. So basically what I'm trying to use this book for is a positive on a multiple ways is the reader's going to get a lot out of it, but that all the profit is going to go to help out some organizations. And what motivated me for that is I was in a situation where I was talking to friends that were coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, and they were telling me about all the things they went through out there, and a lot of them are having mental problems with what happened and trying to cope and trying to move forward. And there really aren't a lot of resources to help out the soldiers. And I always hear people talk about, oh, we support the troops. But what exactly are you doing?
Yeah, what do you do? Yeah.
Other than saying we support the troops, I mean, are you sending them money or are you sending them gifts? I mean, what exactly are you doing?
Do you have a friend? Yeah, an individual that you're helping because he.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, right.
So my attitude is I didn't want to just fall into that loop myself where I'm this guy who's going, oh, yeah, I love the troops and then have nothing to back it up with. And also, I was feeling bad about the situation in Vegas where a lot of foreclosures are happening again and a lot of animals are being just abandoned.
Displaced,
cats,
right.
Dogs, et cetera. And right. this is a great organization, Nevada SPCA. It's a no-kill shelter where if you give them a good amount of money, it's actually going to go a long way, just like Life Quest Transitions. So that was what actually motivated me to finish this book because I've actually had this book on the back burner for a while. And it got to a point where it was on the back burner for like over a year, and I just hadn't gotten around to finishing it. And people kept on emailing me going, when's the book coming out? And every time I would get an email, it would just irritate me because it would remind me that I haven't gotten around to that yet.
Right.
And then I came up with this idea. I was like, wow, what if you gave away all the profit to these organizations? That would be incredible. You could raise a lot of money for this stuff. And that's what motivated me to finish off the book. I mean, I think I finished off the last several chapters and, you know, in about a week. I was up late just writing relentlessly
every night. Yeah,
you know?
right.
Yeah. So when you get that strong, where I'm going also is that this is what happens when you have a strong purpose or motivation, something like that, something outside of yourself. I think a lot of times people are too self-absorbed, which is another problem. They're always thinking about themselves and their problems, and you have to do that to some degree, don't get me wrong, but at the same time, if you can actually get out of bed in the morning and you can actually see yourself in the mirror, that you don't have any, and you have a roof over your head, you're ahead of a lot of people.
Yeah.
And you know what?
And I'll tell you something, and I've said this to my own children. One of the secrets to a happy life is being happy with what you have already. Too many of us feel that, well, when I get this, or when I get that, that's when my life is going to be perfect. When I finally get that $100,000 a year job, my life is going to be perfect. When I finally get that car, when I finally pay this bill, my life will be perfect. And guess what? And you know this. You achieve all of those things over time. Your life still isn't perfect, but you're now you're just setting the carrot further out. Well, I've got the $100,000 a year job, but I'm still kind of miserable. So maybe when I buy the Maserati, that's when I'm going to be happy. And you know what?
Yeah, I think goal acquisition can be very fleeting. And like the chapter in the book where I talk about you have a right to your actions, but not the results of your actions, which is a famous Hindu saying in a text called the Bhagavad Gita. And the first time I read that, I think I was around 18. And I was like, what the hell does that mean? You have a right to your actions, but not the results of your actions. Why would you act without being focused on the results? Because that's what we're kind of inundated with.
Right.
But the whole premise is that you want to be so immersed on just achieving excellence in the action stage that you're not concerned with what the outcome is going to be. You're not attached to the outcome. But the outcome is going to be good because you're not focused on that. When you're so focused on the goal, I think what happens is you're not going to do as well in the moment because your mind is somewhere else. But also I think it's going to be very anticlimactic if and when you do achieve those goals. And we see that happen to a lot of people.
Right.
We see it happen to famous people who try to commit suicide. And people always go, why is that person trying to commit suicide? They're rich, they're famous, everybody loves them. But there's probably this big empty hole in them going, I thought it was going to be more than this when they were coming up. Or I'm still not happy, something's still missing. So there's a really anticlimactic nature to goals. And I think sometimes people experience that unconsciously, and that's what makes them somewhat hesitant to go after other goals as well, as they're going, oh, I achieved this and that didn't really change my life that much. Why bother going after all this other stuff? I think it's the wrong focus. So, I mean, that's why I have some chapters on happiness in my book from stuff that I've studied, where one of the authors I quoted talks about how when you have the basic necessities taken care of, so when you basically have a roof over your head, you have food, you have
some
money in the bank, you're not stressing.
What do they call it? Maslow's laws?
Exactly. So when you have the basic things taken care of, which is, I think they equated to about a $65,000 a year income for about a single person, or maybe it was a couple. It was a modest income. It wasn't anything exceptional. Doubling that income or tripling that income is not going to increase your level of happiness. And when people hear that, they just don't buy it. They're like, oh, that's stupid. And I'm not trying to say don't go after out there and try to make as much money as you want. If you want to do that, go for it. You want to buy a yacht and go on fancy vacations, if that's your thing, go for it. But the point is, don't expect those things to make you that much happier than you are right now, because it's going to be very fleeting. But what they did find is that acts of gratification, where you're helping others, increased your happiness a great deal. So basically, once you have the basic necessities taken care of, going back and immersing yourself in causes that are gratifying to you is going to increase your level of happiness a lot more.
Interesting. You know what? And we know, I know what you're saying is accurate. I know that it's true. And most of us probably know that these are truisms. But how many of us will actually do something about it? That's really the question.
Well, that's the hard part.
Let's take our last commercial break and we'll wrap it up. I want to change gears when we come back. I want to talk about a product on your website.
Sure.
We're talking with Mike Mahler. He's got a new book out called Live Life Aggressively. There are posts on my Facebook wall already from people who have read the book and say it's an amazing book. You can get your copy at Amazon.com or go to MikeMahler, MAHLER.com to get your copy. We'll be right back. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. Anabolicminds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit anabolicminds.com today and get into the action. Anabolicminds.com. Learn, teach,
lead.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MaHLer.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Aha, you thought that was going to be the Beatles, didn't you? It was supposed to be. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking today with Mike Mahler. His website is Mike Mahler, MaHLer.com. Lots of great stuff there, including his new book, Live Life Aggressively. Don't be afraid to be aggressive in life. Get what you want. Don't stand back and wait for someone to give it to you. I mean, really, that is the ultimate message here, right? Isn't it, Mike?
Yeah, it really is, and it's another thing where we've become such a society of sheep where I remember there was footage I saw of this just belligerent guy just beating up this guy because he was on the cell phone and this guy cut in front of him in line. And he was talking to somebody. He goes, oh, yeah, someone's just cut in front of me in line, so I guess it's going to take a while for me to get my sandwich. And this guy just turned around and just started beating him up. And everyone around just sat there and watched. No one did anything. And this was a big guy that was beating up this person, so there was a lot of fear probably. But 6-7 people could have just tackled this guy. It doesn't matter how big you are.
Right.
And they could have taken this guy out. But no one did anything. Right in front of him, here's a guy getting the crap beat out of him, and no one intervened. And I'm not going to say I see stuff like that all the time, like someone getting beaten up. But I do see lesser things where, like, for example, I saw an old couple struggling to carry some bags to their car one time, and everybody's just walking by, totally oblivious, texting as they walk by. And I helped them out, and this is not my way of saying what a great guy I am, but I'm just saying people need to be more cognizant in their daily life.
Well, Mike, and also
take charge of stuff. When you see something that's happening that
jump
shouldn't
in.
Be happening, do something about it. Don't sit there and go, the government should be doing something about this, or I hope someone else steps in.
You know what part of the problem is, unfortunately? Our country is run by a judicial system that has become a business with an ever-widening and broadening net. And
yeah,
scope.
That's very true.
You know, you because let's say, and this is a reality. Let's say we take that scenario. The government doesn't want you to get involved. If you jump on that big guy, let's say you and me and Mark Phillippe was standing in line, right?
Yeah.
And we stretch this guy, right? Because he jumps on the little guy. So now we stretch him, right? And we hold him down and the cops get there and his nose is broken and blah, blah, blah. the cops aren't going to pat us on the back and go, good job, guys. No, they're going to want our information. They're going to write a report. This guy, if this guy was harmed in a way, they could say, well, you know, you guys are bodybuilders and you used undue force and blah, blah. And next, you know, because don't forget, there was a guy in New York. There was a police officer in New York. This is when I was still living there. I'm going back 30 years. But there was a cop in New York working on one of the subways, and he stopped a mugging and shot the perpetrator as he fled and paralyzed the guy from the waist down. And that guy he paralyzed won like $30 million from the state of New York when he sued that.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that.
You know, I mean, this country, unfortunately, is, I'm sorry to say it, it's effed up now. It's like you can't, it's almost like it's gotten so far out of control that you can't even step up and do the things that should be rudimentary. Okay, it happens to be the eve of a disaster in this country, right? September 11th. We all remember.
Right.
Okay, terrible, terrible thing. I traveled to Israel 2 months after that happened. I remember scoping out where the oxygen tank on the plane was because I thought if somebody steps up, I'm going to unlock that overhead bin, grab that oxygen tank. I'm going to start spinning that sucker around like a baseball bat, knocking people out. That's how I was thinking, right?
Right, right.
But you talk about sheeple a moment ago. You said people are like sheep. They actually call people sheeple now because it's like you can actually get them like lemmings to walk off a cliff.
Right.
I mean, now think about this for a second, and I am not in any way, shape, or form second-guessing anybody who was on any of those planes that lost their lives.
Right, right.
But I was on a plane 2 months later flying to Israel on business questioning if a guy stood up behind me with a box cutter, what would I do? And I remember thinking to myself, I would reach and get that oxygen tank. I would wrap my jacket around my arm to keep it from getting too badly sliced while I banged his head with, you know, I was actually going through this process in my mind. Now,
Right. Think
about this, Mike. How many guys were on those planes with box cutters? Four,
yeah,
five?
Two, three. I think it was four people. Yeah.
And how many passengers altogether were on that plane?
I mean, yeah, probably hundreds. Probably
could you imagine if they rallied? If one guy stood up and said, you know, Samuel Jackson style, you know, let's get these snakes off the plane. It's like, if everybody would have stepped out, these guys with box cutters. I mean, and I hate to say what I'm about to say, but in our father's era, when there was a lot more patriotism in this country and a lot more willingness to stand up because you weren't afraid that some police officer would arrest you instead of the perpetrator. You think that would have happened with these World War II type veterans? If the guy stood up, they would have given their lives to kill those guys.
Yeah, no, that's very true. And then the second plane, they did do that. They did take down that
there
second
you go.
Plane where these guys galvanized and said, "Okay, this doesn't look like we're going to survive this. So we're not going to take this lying down. We're going to take these guys down."
Right, and that's exactly what happened. As a matter of fact, that story that there's a young girl lost her dad in the September 11th crash into the World Trade Center. He was a cook up on the in the Windows on the World. And that story inspired her. She's becoming a pilot now because she says she wants to be one of those pilots on a plane that would drive the plane into the ground if something like that happened again to save a bunch of people. So patriotism has been inspired by those stories.
Right.
But I mean, you're right. The country needs to step up. The notion of being aggressive is not a bad thing. We do need to be more aggressive. The government doesn't want us to be aggressive. The government wants us to be docile. Turn over our money to the pharmaceutical agenda. Turn over our money to the government and just keep working.
No question. I mean, the government doesn't want well-informed citizens that take charge of their lives. That's the last thing they want. And they want us to basically just swallow down stuff like Monsanto and they don't even want us to take charge of quality food control. I mean, think about all the discussions all these meaningless discussions we hear on the news all the time. Not once do we ever hear about the problems with the food supply and how they're getting worse each year. I mean, that should be the most important thing that people are discussing. Everyone's talking about fuel and this and that and so forth, which are important, but what's more important than the food supply? And that's something that is conveniently never brought up ever.
Yeah, because the reason they don't want to, talk about it is because the government is part and parcel of the problem. They're involved. They're in bed with these large companies. You know, I love the European style. I think that we need to get away from self-funded political campaigns and have the, we need to have publicly funded political campaigns so every player has the same amount of money. You've got some of the richest people in the world are congressmen now.
Right.
You know, you got a guy, when you got a guy who can throw $70 million of his own dollars at a campaign, he's buying the campaign.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And you know, and there's a lot of reform that needs to take place in this country. A lot of reform. And you know what's really funny? I was talking to Elisa the other day and I said, you know, back in the old days, this is when there would be a revolution. We don't have to buy guns to revolt anymore. We just have to stop spending money.
Yeah.
If the people in this country realized how critical it is that they wake up every morning, buy that Egg McMuffin, put that gas in their tank, drive to work, and then go to the grocery store afterwards and come home, that keeps the wheels turning. You want to bring a government to its knees, you don't have to buy guns. You need a concerted effort nationwide to stop spending money on certain things. You'll send messages really, really quick. You could, you know what? If we wanted to, we could put Monsanto out of business tomorrow. All we have to do is not buy anything that is ultimately downstream from Monsanto. And when you don't buy it, you let everybody know we're boycotting these products because they're Monsanto. You'll see how fast Monsanto will change. They'll start selling you what you want.
And the problem is this, is that those companies want to sell you the illusion that these low-quality foods are just as good as the higher-quality foods. And then people want to believe that illusion because it's a lot cheaper. So we got two people being delusional. We have people selling lies, and then people that are choosing to believe lies because it's more convenient. It's like, well, great, this factory farm crap is just as good as the organic stuff, and it's a lot cheaper. I'm just going to get that.
Right, because people don't want to be bothered. They don't want to have to make different decisions.
They want to. They go, well, I don't buy into that whole organic stuff. That's just a scam. So now you don't have to. Now you don't have to change your behavior. You can continue to keep doing what you're doing. Or, oh, I don't believe that McDonald's is unhealthy. I'm just going to keep doing it anyway. And a lot of people have a lot of fatalistic, oh, you know, you're going to die of something, you know, like that kind of mentality. So where they feel like it doesn't matter what they do, they're going to die of something. And yeah, we're all going to die of something, but to take yourself out of the equation so much where you feel like you have no control whatsoever over your life, that's a surefire way to be unsuccessful and miserable. No question about that.
Let's change up the subject just for a second.
Sure.
You have a pre-workout product that you're promoting on your website now that has actually been formulated by a former strongman and strength and conditioning coach, Mark Philippi.
Yeah.
I've been using this periodically, and I got to tell you, it's really a great product, and I especially love it because it doesn't have any stims in it at all.
Yeah, Mark actually worked with the guy to design that product. It's called Power Shot. It's a really good pre-workout drink. Take it about 45 minutes to an hour before a workout. Doesn't have any caffeine, doesn't have any stimulants. It's got stuff like crealkaline, it's got different arginine analogs, it's got citrulline. It's just got a lot of different ingredients that work well together to fuel your workouts more. And pretty much everyone that I've had, I don't think I've had maybe one non-responder, like one person didn't care for it out of the hundreds of people that I know that are using it, friends and customers. And it's one thing that works really well. And Mark designed it without stimulants so that kids could use it. Like his daughter, who I believe is maybe 11 or 12, she takes it before soccer games, things like that. So it's a product that really anyone can take.
Has he ever shared with you whether or not he feels that his daughter has an edge over these other kids as a result of that?
I don't know. I'd have to ask him. That's a good question. His wife was telling me, Tracy, that she takes it before her runs, and she said the first time she took it, she noticed that she was running up a hill, and she was going, wow, this is a lot easier than it normally is.
Really?
Now, what I tell people is it's subtle. It's not something where you take it and you're going, wow, I just benched 50 more pounds than normal. It's just that you're getting through your workouts. When you basically, those crappy workouts start becoming a lot, they start occurring a lot less often.
Right.
When you're taking, I mean, assuming you have other stuff dialed in as well, like your diet and your sleep and so forth. I find it's almost like workout insurance. I take two or three scoops about an hour before a workout. I'm going to have a good workout. It's rare that I have a crappy workout these days.
How much is the jug?
The jug's about $60, so it's more expensive than other pre-workout drinks out there. But one thing you have to realize is that when you look at the ingredient profile, the exact amount of each ingredient is actually revealed on the label. And what a lot of other companies do is they just do a blend where they don't actually reveal what the actual amount is in. So these are the actual amounts that need to be in it for it to be beneficial. For example, it's about 3 grams of crealkaline, I believe, per 2 scoops, 1.5 grams. So it actually tells you how much is in it. So it's more expensive than other drinks out there, but it's not loaded with a bunch of artificial crap.
Well, and it also uses real waxy maize, right? You use the same potato starch that Generate uses in their product.
Exactly. And what I always tell people is, like, it's not something you have to take before every workout. You could take it before maybe one of your harder workouts during the week, or you could take it on a day where you're just not feeling at your best, or you can take it before every workout. I mean, I take it before every workout because I love the benefits. But it's something that can be used judiciously. It's not something that has to be used every single time.
And it's available at your website at MikeMahler.com.
Yeah, it's available at MikeMahler.com.
So
the feedback on it is great.
How long has the book been available now? Live Life.
It's been out for about 2 weeks now. I guess coming into the third week.
Are you getting any reviews from people?
I'm getting a lot of reviews. It's got about 12 reviews on Amazon.com. Everyone's loving it, and I'm actually waiting for some negative reviews because I think I don't want to have too many positive reviews where people believe that I'm just stacking the deck on Amazon.com.
That's funny.
So I'm hoping someone reads it and goes, "I didn't like it at all." I'm going, "Okay, good."
Yeah.
Someone's actually reading the book and just agreeing.
Yeah.
But so far, so good.
Okay.
And Charles Poliquin was telling me the other day, I sent him a copy, that he's loving it. He really liked it. He did a little plug on his Facebook page. He's going to review it for his blog later on in the week. So the feedback's been really good with it. I've actually been pleasantly, I'm not surprised, but I'm just enjoying the fact that people are getting a lot out of the book.
There's one contrary chapter. I say contrary to the notion, you know, we talk about the self-help positive, perpetual positive attitude.
Right, right.
But you also talk about embracing compassion as opposed to anger. Don't you think that there's a value to anger sometimes?
I do. I think you need both, no question. So I think you need to be angry sometimes to make those strong changes, as we discussed as well. And I think compassion allows you to avoid being self-absorbed as well. I think a big problem a lot of people have is they're too self-absorbed, and that can often lead to depression as well because you're just inside your own head too much. So I think you have to have a balance of these different things. There's a time to be angry, and there's a time to be compassionate. There's a time to be positive about how things are going. I mean, all these things are useful. It's just that you have to know when to apply what.
Isn't really that the message of Buddhism? You know, Buddhism embraces evil because they say without it, the contrasting good would not be seen. And isn't that really part of the Buddhist approach to life, where you the kind of the yin and yang?
The Buddhist approach is basically where you become detached in the sense that when something really good happens, you don't get ecstatic about it, jumping up and down. And when something really negative happens, you don't go into a deep depression. That's when you've kind of reached that state of enlightenment where neither one affects you in a way, where you're just kind of in this pinball of life. You know, a lot of us are in a pinball machine of life. Where something good goes well, we're like, oh, great. And then something irritating comes along, it's like, now we're irritated. And then this comes along, and now we're angry. And then something good happens, oh, now we feel good again. We're constantly going back and forth through all these different things. And the Buddhist state is you want to get to a point where you're not affected like that. And it doesn't mean that you're just like some despondent person sitting around watching TV all day, not doing anything in life anymore. It's just someone where you're more balanced now. And it's hard for me to even explain this state because I'm not in it. I'm not claiming to be enlightened or anything like that.
Right.
But that's kind of the direction you want to get to, is where you have that more equilibrium in your mind.
Well, that has something to do with what you said about not owning the outcome. That you said that you read in the is it the Bhagavad Gita?
Yeah, it's called the Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah.
It's common in a lot.
I actually have that translated from Sanskrit into English, and I've never sat down and really read the whole thing. But I actually
it's a really good read. I recommend it. It's actually an interesting read. It's more of a philosophical dialogue. It's written in that kind of format.
Right.
So it's not a lot of dogma or something where you're just gonna go, what the hell are these guys talking about? Russell Simmons, actually, owner of the famous record producer, he actually has a pretty good book called Super Rich, where he actually talks about the Bhagavad Gita quite a bit. And he breaks it down in a way that a Western audience would probably understand it a lot more. So that's an interesting read to check out as well. But the whole notion of just not being attached to results, it's very difficult to get to that point. I mean, it's very difficult to not be attached to results, because when you're working hard on something, you want a certain outcome. But I think when you're so focused on where you want to go, you really miss out on the present. And when you're not fully present, you're not going to have the best. You're not going to have as good an outcome as if you were in the moment. So that, I mean, a lot of us have experienced that with our own workouts, where we're just in the zone, and everything, all of a sudden, everything feels light, and we just hit a PR, but we didn't necessarily go in with that intention.
Right.
In other words, we weren't going, okay, today I'm going to deadlift this much weight. And it, often when you do that, you actually set yourself up for failure. Like, you and I have talked about this before, where you're saying you couldn't sleep the night before, because you're thinking about
right.
how you're going to be going in for a PR, and then,
right.
and then you go in, and think about how much energy is wasted on all of that. And I've actually found that if I go for a PR on a day where I wasn't actually planning to do that, it often works out better for me. Like, for example, I go into the gym and I'm like, wow, everything feels really light today on deadlifts. I'm going to go for it, see what I can really go
right,
for.
Right.
And then I actually have a great PR. But if I actually try to prepare myself all week, like it's Monday and I go, okay, Friday is the day I'm going to go in and I'm going to do this, that often works against me. So I think that's kind of an example right there of what I'm talking about, is when you're fully immersed in a workout, it's actually going to be a really good workout, rather than when you're actually going through the workout thinking, okay, here's what I want to achieve. And that's very difficult to do, too. I'm sure you've experienced this, where you're doing one exercise and you haven't even finished it yet, and you're going, okay, this is what I'm going to do next after I'm done with this. And then I'm going to do that after this, and then I got to make those calls after the workout today. And then
right.
so you're already thinking about stuff that has nothing to do with your workout. And you're obviously not going to have as productive a workout as if you were just totally immersed in that process.
No, and I do it every day. I do exactly what you – I was doing it this morning. I went into the gym this morning, and I thought, well, I'm just going to go through the motions today. I need a little easy day. I ended up going heavier than I wanted to, and I was while I was working out, I was thinking about what I had to do when I came into the studio.
Right.
And it's very difficult to be in the moment. It really
is.
It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of mindfulness to be in the moment. And quite often it takes a decision that you have to work at, that you want to work at.
Yeah. And it's a lot easier to do it if you're actually doing something you enjoy, too. I mean, even then it's hard. But if you have a job that you hate, who wants to be in the moment?
Yeah.
If you're in a relationship that's where you're just miserable, who wants to be in that? And I've actually had people read my articles over the years. Many of these articles made this book that told me that it actually gave them the impetus to get out of abusive relationships, to quit jobs they couldn't stand, to make some pretty serious changes. I mean, a good friend of mine who read the book, she lives out in New York City, and she was talking about how she was basically justifying a lot, going, I don't like my job, and I don't like being out here, but these are the reasons why I have to keep doing it. So she was having that discussion with her.
Right.
And after reading the book, it kind of just got her to wake up and say, I'm tired of rationalizing this behavior that's causing me to be miserable. It's time for me to make some serious changes. And she decided to put up her condo, she started to sell it, and she's going to move out of it, quit her job and move out. So sometimes we need that slap in the face, where if someone just tells you to be positive and say everything's okay, that's not giving you any strong fuel for the fire to make some serious changes. We have to get to that fed up state.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, listen, Mike, we've come to the end of the interview. I want to remind people that they should get the book, Live Life Aggressively, What Self-Help Gurus Should Be Telling You. But let's face it, they're not going to tell you this because they want you to keep buying their books, like you said, to keep repeating that sensation that they're trying to, that's what they're really trying to sell you.
Yeah, the goal there is to get you to buy the book, and then to get you to come to a live event, and then to get you to come out to a week event, and then to get you to keep coming back.
And then they can get you to pay for their, then they want you to, you know, the coaching phone calls and everything else that goes along with it.
Right. It doesn't have to be that complicated. Figure out exactly what you want. Do the research that you need and make the change.
You know, you think Richard Branson does that? You think he's calling people and going, hey, you know, when you look at some of the most successful people in the world.
I'm so glad you brought this up. Yeah.
They just do the work. They just do the
exactly.
work. They do the work every day, and then all of a sudden they look back and they go, holy mackerel, I created an empire. I didn't even realize.
Yeah, you think Steve Jobs or Bill Gates went to a Tony Robbins seminar and then they decided, let's start a company. After that rah-rah-rah meeting, no, those guys are out there doing it. They're out there in the field and fully immersed in making things happen.
And if you're in a place right now in your life where you are out of a job or you're soon to be out of a job, you know what? Think about starting a business of your own. I mean,
it's never been easier in the history of human culture to start a business now.
Right.
I mean, the Internet has revolutionized things to the point where ideas that never would have worked. For example, even my company, like making money off teaching kettlebell seminars, that never would have worked 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, that would have been a joke.
Right.
You would have had like two people at a local YMCA paying you $10 to learn how to swing a kettlebell.
Right.
And now you have like 20 different certifications and, you know, hundreds of, if not thousands of instructors, and a lot of people are making good income off of this. So, I mean, like all these like fringe ideas could actually become real businesses now. I mean, out here in Vegas, there's actually a store that specializes in selling cupcakes. You know, cupcakes used to be something that moms brought for their kids at a soccer game.
Right.
Now there's a store that actually, this is their business model. All they do is make cupcakes all day long.
And I bet you they're very expensive cupcakes.
Yeah, I've never been in there before, actually, but this place is thriving. I mean, it's actually well-known, and they deliver them and so forth. So, I mean, and I think it was two ladies who came up with the idea. They were just making cupcakes for their kids and parties and so forth, and then people love these cupcakes, and they were going, I bet we can make a business out of this. And sure enough, they did, and they're doing really well with it.
Yeah. Who would have, right? You're right. Who would have thought a store dedicated to just cupcakes?
There's a store where they make organic dog biscuits. It's like a similar business model for just dogs and cats, where they just make like organic treats for animals. That's
right.
Their business model. I mean, that would have been a joke 10, 20 years ago. People would have laughed at something.
Well, that's
like
what I was going to say. But thanks to the internet, the world becomes your client. Your customers are all over the world. So if you have a valid idea and you want to put it into action, you're right. The timing has never been better. And guess what? People have money to spend. People are spending money on the things that are important to them. Don't think the world is in the shortage of money, because I'll tell you something else. All of those people who lost their homes, they've had financial corrections. They were in over their head. Guess what? They're not in over their head anymore. They're living in rented properties or apartments. They lost those cars that they couldn't afford, so now they bought 23-year-old Volvos that are paid for, and all of a sudden they're going out to dinner three times a week, and their lives are a lot better, and they're spending money on things. So don't think that the country is starving to death. It's not. The government is, because the government takes our money, because governments don't have money. They have the money of the people. The government's
right.
taking our money, and they're doing what we did before the crash. Well, guess what? The government needs a correction now. There needs to be some sort of foreclosure process on the government now to get them back in line with their bank books and their checkbooks, and going, hey, you know, we got to just spend what we have, as opposed to, you know, spending more and more every single month.
Exactly.
But that's coming. That's coming. Hey, Mike, thanks for being on Superhuman Radio today.
Oh, my pleasure. Always a pleasure. Thanks a lot.
And we'll see everybody tomorrow with another episode. So tune in then. AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro Series products today at PrimordialPerformance.com. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan-2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter Urethane Series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. starting at just $149 a pair, Power Blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with Power Blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100